Right, so for those of you that don't know me, my name is Josh. I'm one of the second year LEAP students. Yes, LEAP is the Bible school year that's on the property. I've been a part of this congregation now for a year and 4 months officially. It has been such a privilege to be a part of Wellington AM. I can really testify of the fact that I found such family in this church, like spiritual mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, and it's just so amazing to be part of this family. The elders always, when they do announcements, speak of us being a big Italian family, and it really feels like that, like we're just all family. And so this morning, as I'm sharing, it's my first time sharing, and to be completely honest with you guys, my legs are shaking right now, my hands are shaking, I'm super nervous. All I'm hoping for is that my voice doesn't crack. But I know that I'm amongst family, and I know that as I share, I'm sharing with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow saints. So that really does give me some sort of comfort this morning. So what I want to be sharing on today is this idea of being present-minded and eternity-focused. And I want to just share briefly on what the Lord has done in my heart on this thing. So in 2024, I did my gap year in the Netherlands after finishing matric, and ended up meeting a church family there. I actually joined the 412 congregation that side, and stayed with a family in the church the whole year. And I can go into a lot of things on that year, but that was for me the year where I really encountered God for myself and started walking a personal walk with the Lord. And while I was there in 2024 in the Netherlands, I was working for one of the leaders in the church. He has like a scrapping and demolitions company. And basically, yeah, you don't need qualification or anything like that to do the work. You just need to be young and able-bodied. So he said, you can come and work for me. And it was really a privilege to be working there. I learned a lot of things in terms of how to work with your hands. And it's really fun when you were angry on one day and you came into work, you had the opportunity to just break something. It was really cool. But basically, how this job would work is we'd get a site for about 4 months, 3 months, whatever it might be, depending on the size of a building, and we'd send different teams. I'd usually work in a two-man team, just myself and one other guy, and we'd go into buildings, and they'd tell us, okay, here's the server building. It's normally like hardware, so internet server, things like that, and we had to like clear it out, demolish it, take things apart, clear out the whole building. And how it would work is the leader of the site, when you get there, would say, okay, Josh, here's this room. Sometimes it's this big, sometimes it's a smaller room, like it could even be the mom's room, the toddler's room or something like that. And they say, okay, Josh, you've got this room. This thing needs to be emptied by the end of the week, for example. And for that week, that's your baby. You're alone in that room completely, and you're doing that work. And so oftentimes, while I was doing this, you'd work like 9-hour shifts, and you just listen to music or something the whole time to keep yourself busy, engaged, and even just to protect your ears from noise and stuff, because there's banging, and you guys know how it is on like construction sites. And so what ended up happening is, as I started to walk with God and desire to grow in Him, I started listening to a lot of audiobooks. And there's a specific audiobook that I want to speak on today, that this is really where the Lord started working in my life through this thing. And it's a book written by a renowned, well-known theologian, I'm sure we all know and love him, by the name of C.S. Lewis. Sorry, I'm just finding my bearings a bit. And he wrote this book. It's a fictional book, very theologically sound, but it's a fictional book called The Screwtape Letters. I don't know if anyone's heard of the book. Has anyone heard of it? Super good book. And it really, it did a lot in my heart. And this is where this theme of being present-minded and eternity-focused came in for my life. So just a side note, if my preach had to have a title this morning, if the message had to have some sort of title, that would be it. Present-minded and eternity-focused. And it's kind of what I want to unpack with us today. But just a brief overview of this book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis is how this book goes is it's fictional. Remember this, now it's fictional. But it's about high-ranking senior demon in the army of the devil that's kind of retired, and he's had like this amazing career as a demon who's fighting against the kingdom of God. I know it's crazy, but he's now retired, and his name is Screwtape, and he writes these letters to a junior demon who's now entered the ranks of the devil, and he writes letters, and the junior demon, his name is Wormwood. So Screwtape writes letters to Wormwood, and the letters he writes him is he instructs him on ways to get Christians to fall away from God. And it's this amazing, It's like, it's a really good book, guys. If you have time, go listen to it or read it. It's super good. And one of the major themes in the book that Screwtape speaks about is he tells Wormwood, okay, so sorry, let me stop. Wormwood, the junior demon, gets the assignment of a young Christian man who's recently given his heart to God. Wormwood gets the assignment to make this guy fall away from God. That's Wormwood's assignment. He must make sure this guy doesn't go to heaven. He doesn't serve Jesus. He must come to hell. He mustn't go to heaven. And one of the major themes that Screwtape instructs Wormwood to focus on is he must get this young Christian man to, as often as possible, not be in the present moment. He must get this guy to continuously be dwelling on the past or with his thoughts fixed on the future. Because if you can keep him out of the present moment, he's going to stop him from experiencing God. And through that, he's going to fall away from God. And that's where this whole theme comes from of being present-minded and eternity-focused. And that's where God really started working it out in my life of like, yo, there's many areas in my life where I'm constantly dwelling on the past, constantly worried or anxious about the future and what that might look like. And I think it's various things for us. And I want to say this morning, as we unpack these things of what it means to be present-minded and eternity-focused and how joy even plays into all of these things, I'm really trusting that it's not going to be something that just encourages us and fills our hearts, but also fills our hands, as Ray even shared in the prayer meeting, that we would get like practical handles from this. So I'm trusting that as I share from examples of my own life, that you would, the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you on areas in your life or things in your life that you can either change or grab hold of to be more present-minded and eternity-focused. Does that make sense? Cool, let's do it. Okay, so this is where the Lord started doing this thing in my life. And I actually want to just unpack a little bit on what it means to be present-minded and eternity-focused. But I want to start with unpacking what does it really mean to be eternity-focused? And why is it important and all of these things? I want to start off by reading 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. It says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So," and this is what I want you guys to focus on, "we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I just want you guys to remember that thing of here, Paul's speaking to the Corinthian church. He's saying, we fix our eyes. That's eternal focus. We fix our eyes. Okay? And I know this is a Christianese term we hear often in church. But I just want to read another scripture. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run this race with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And verse 3 says, "Consider him who endured such opposition. Consider him from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So these two scriptures, speaking on eternal focus, actually say, to have an eternal focus, we need to fix our eyes. And we often hear about that, fixing of eyes. But this morning, as I said, I don't just want to be hard. I want to be practical. So I was like, okay, we see this term fixing our eyes. And something in me was like, let me just go see what the original Greek is of what does it mean to fix my eyes? And how can I actually make this practical in my own life? So interestingly enough, as I went to go look, the two different scriptures, so 2 Corinthians speaking about fixing our eyes and Hebrews speaking about fixing our eyes, have different Greek words. So the Greek word used in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18 is the word skopeo. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. And it means to look at attentively, to observe carefully, and to direct your attention towards something with intention. So, it's interestingly enough, it's the origin word of the word scope and microscope, which is quite interesting if you think about it. So this scripture where Paul is speaking about, let's fix our eyes, it's actually speaking about an intentional focus. Like if you think about a microscope, it's usually used in research, in study. It like observes every aspect of something and it goes deep into, it's like a time, energy, effort is devoted into studying this thing. And how that looks for us practically is studying the word. It's knowing God, devoting time, devoting effort, observing him from different angles through conversations and things like that. Even like the practical aspects of, for me, as I think of it in my brain, how it works is like, okay, a scientist that researches something devotes time and energy to it with an intentional focus to understand every single aspect of that thing, not just to understand it, to know it inside and out. And the same with the Lord. Like practically, that's what it means to have an eternal focus this morning, according to the scriptures, that we would be, okay, does that make sense? I'm not going to ramble. Okay, cool. Then in Hebrews, the origin word that they speak of there, where he's, the writer speaks about throwing off all weight and sin, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, where it says fixing our eyes, the origin word there is, and I really hope that I'm pronouncing this right, is afarao. Afarao. It means to look away from everything else, to turn your eyes away from distractions, and to fix your eyes exclusively. In other words, it's to look away from everything else in order to look unto Jesus. So the word scopeo that we spoke about speaks about an intentional focus, but this word, afarao, speaks about exclusive devotion. Does that make sense? And practically, what does exclusive devotion look like in my life? Even that scripture speaking about to have an eternal focus, I need to be running this race with perseverance, throwing off all weight and sin with an exclusive devotion and intentional focus. Exclusive devotion in my life for me would look like, okay, I get busy. That's what I do. I get busy. And then I completely could lose, I just get focused on this thing and I completely lose focus on actually what's ahead of me. And that's kind of the whole thing of the eternal focus this morning is that actually this would be like our anchor, that it would be something that we're going to move into the present-minded aspect of things, but that the eternal focus would be our perspective and our goal and our foundation, our grounding is the fact that we're working to an eternity we're working towards eternity with Jesus one day. And even the heart, like I actually want to stop a bit, even the heart of this is, and really something that God has encouraged me with is like to be reminded of this truth, to be reminded of this reality. This life is so short compared to the eternal glory that awaits us. So I'm not going to get caught up in these things. I'm not going to be anchored in anything else. Like even for myself, it's so easy to look forward to what work am I going to do one day? Or who am I going to get married to? Am I going to get married? You know, things like that. But that's here. But actually, let our perspective may be anchored in something so much greater, something eternal. And it's really a truth for us this morning. It's not something that we, it's not like a fairy tale or something. It's truth. It's a fact that we've been saved by Jesus Christ and we are on our way to eternity. And may that encourage us and may we be rooted in that fact. And I mean, even just this thing of Hebrews speaking about throwing off all weight and sin, it speaks about even running our race with perseverance. And funny enough, I don't know if any of you guys know, if anyone else maybe even took part, but the Rhodes Marathon happened on Friday, and we had some Leap guys that took part. I know Matthew Barthes took part, Maris took part in it, Matthew Hendricks from the... Did you take part in it as well? Amazing. We had a few... this marathon was ran, and after the guys had ran it and finished it, I went up, I spoke to them. Matthew said it was great fun, and out of curiosity, I asked Matthew, so Matthew, would you have been able to do it alone? Not telling him, oh, yeah, this is for the preach, like, so tell me what I want to hear, you know, type of thing. But he told me, as he was running, it's very easy to look around him, left and right, at how other people are running, and you kind of want to push harder, because you're like, no, man, I can't let these people beat me. But having Matthew next to him, Matthew Hendricks running alongside him, was able to remind him of the fact that, hey, bro, this race is long, you know. We had kilometer 5 And we're not running to get to kilometer 15. We're not running to get to kilometer 10. We're running to finish the race, you know. And it's that encouragement of constantly like, hey, don't fix your eyes on that thing. Don't there. Like, and what I want to say this morning is it's the same with the Lord. We often hear in church that life with God is a marathon, not a sprint. And as we run this race, we actually need one another to have an eternal focus, to remind ourselves, like to remind my brother and my sister, hey, this is what we're working towards. Look at the prize. Look at eternity. Look how beautiful that thing is that awaits us. So don't be focused on this thing. Don't be focused on how they're even running their race. And even the practicalities of, it's a long race. Make sure you have the right shoes. Make sure you've got the right socks on. You know, do you have water with you? Things to keep you hydrated so that we can actually reach that finish line. And I want to say that we need one another to have an eternal focus. We need one another in this walk with the Lord. We cannot do it alone. Wilma Ray always used to say, Shal quoted it in one of the classes we had, is alone we can go fast, but together we can go far. And it's so true. It's really true. So does that make sense? Just a little bit on what it means to have an eternal focus. Okay, it means that I fix my eyes on Jesus with intentional focus, with exclusive devotion, and then there's the practicalities of that, and I'm trusting that the Lord is speaking to you on practically what would it look like for you to have an eternal focus. And the fact that we're running this race and we need one another. So continuously even encouraging my brother and my sister as we run this race. Lekker. I want to end off with a quote, another quote by Will Murray, and this is a really good quote. He said, "We are not essentially human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are essentially spirit beings having a temporary human experience." I'm going to read it again. "We are not essentially human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are essentially spirit beings having a temporary human experience." So may we be reminded of that fact this morning. The life on this earth is so short. And we look forward to eternal glory with the Lord one day in heaven. May we encourage one another as we do that. Okay, but you may be asking yourself, okay, Josh, you're speaking about what it means to be present-minded and eternity-focused. So what does presence of mind, what does present-mindedness have to do with my eternal focus? Well, I'll tell you. What it means to be present-minded in this whole thing is that as my gaze is anchored in eternity, as I have an eternal focus, everything that I do here now in this life aligns in accordance with that goal, aligns in accordance with the Lord's will. And actually, my heart for us this morning is that we would be stirred on and encouraged as we recognize the truths of eternity, but actually that we would leave with something in our hands to say, because of this fact, it means that I need to go and do this. That we wouldn't just leave with something more in our hearts. I do trust for that, but I really trust that we'd have practical handles to take into our lives, as Ray even shared. And even just referring back to the Screwtape letters, we see that the whole point of this thing is that Screwtape wants to get Wormwood. Screwtape advises Wormwood on how to get this Christian man to fall away from God by being completely caught up in everything else but the present moment. Because I want to say this morning, the past cannot be changed. The future still remains. But it is only in the present moment, the here, the now, right now, that we are able to obey God, that we are able to experience God, that we are able to trust in God. So if the enemy can get us focusing on everything but the present moment, we're going to stop experiencing God. We're going to stop trusting in God and even obeying God, and this is going to lead us to fall away from Him. And this morning, and then that's why it's such a massive thing in my heart that what the Lord has been showing me is like we have to be in accordance, like we have to be in line with eternity in the way that we do things now, and we have to be enjoying it. We have to be like present, you know? And we often speak about that, be present, you know? But what does it mean to be present? Again, very good question, guys. I'm going to unpack it. Don't worry. So as I was doing this thing of being present-minded, again, I was asking myself, what does it look like practically for me to be present-minded? I know what it means now to have an eternal focus, and I know what it means to be anchored in this truth. But what does it mean for me to be present-minded and in line with this thing of eternity? Before I get into that, I want to say that being present-minded and eternity-focused is not spacing out, thinking about heaven all day, like, will there be cars and will there be that? It's not that, you know? Being present-minded and eternity-focused is actually living in the here and now, fully engaged with it. Like living presently, here and now, fully engaged, but with my view and with my perspective anchored in the truth of eternity as my goal. Does that make sense? So basically what this would mean then, to be present-minded and eternity-focused, the present-minded aspect would be, okay, if my focus is grounded in eternity, then in the present moment, my priorities will align with God's, okay? And so that's what it means to be present-minded, is that my priorities are in line with God's priorities, okay? What are God's priorities? Let's see. God's priorities are that we would love God and love people. And I don't want to just say that. I want to read it from the scripture. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Do you have the next one? No. Okay, but it goes on to say that, oh yes, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. So this is one of the Lord's priorities. And he says that the whole law is fulfilled in this, that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm going to get into the like real practical of that as well. Because even that, it's like, okay, I know I need to love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength. I know I need to love my neighbor as myself. Okay, but how do I do it? And we will get to that. But another priority of God is that we would make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And we all know the scripture. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus says, like, these are two priorities, and even commandments of God is that we would love him with everything, love people as we love ourselves, and take as many people with us on this journey as we do it. Does that make sense? Okay, so but practically, what does it look like to be to have my priorities aligned with God's? And this is not just practical examples from my own life. As I was thinking, like things that God has challenged me on, where it's like you're in the moment and God's like, Josh, right now you're not being present-minded. You're not being eternity-focused. Right now, your priorities are not aligning with mine. So these are just some examples from my own life. And as I share this, I trust that if there's areas in your life that the Lord might highlight that you'd see, okay, this is maybe something in my life that doesn't look the same. But just here's some examples from my own life. So the first practical example is being interruptible. So an example of presence of mind and something for me, like the way that I am as Josh, is I'm very task-driven. So I've started with studies this year. So if I have an assignment to do or something and I'm busy sitting at my computer, busy studying, reading, busy with an assignment, whatever it might be, and someone comes to me and they start speaking to me, I'll often just be like, huh? Yeah, okay, cool. And then they leave and then I'm back at it. But God has challenged me on that where he said, Josh, it's more of my priority that you would love that person, give them the time of day, be intentional in that moment, because that's my son or daughter, whoever it might be, that's more of my priority than what it is for you to complete your assignment. And so God, okay, if I want to be present-minded and eternity-focused, then my priorities want to align with yours. So I'm going to actually stop in this moment. And God has been teaching me. I'm not, like, let me just say, I'm really not preaching as one this morning that has made it. I'm not preaching as one this morning that is present-minded and eternity-focused always. I'm preaching as one that has been challenged by this and like really the sad thing of this, you know, they say if you point your fingers, three pointing back. It's really like that this morning. So I speak for all of us, but like God has really challenged me on that. As I'm busy with a task, even if I'm cleaning, doing something, to be able to stop when someone comes to me with something and give them that time of day. Like actually, you're more of a priority to God right now, so you're more of a priority to me in this moment. So being interruptible, that's one of the examples from my own life. Another one is, and God has challenged me on this, is prioritizing time with him. Oftentimes for myself and even yeah, just like oftentimes for myself, I would be in a space where I'm super busy with things, and then I'm going and I'm going, and I'm actually not making time for God in my days, just in my daily routine. And it's kind of like, oh, but it's okay. His presence is with me, you know, and I speak now and then. And it is. It's true. His presence is with us, and he is in us, and he's always listening. And I can speak to him wherever I go, and that's part of it. But actually, God has challenged me. It's like, Josh, take time out of your day to prioritize loving me and just learning about me and praying to me and reading the word, because in this, that's God's priority, is that I would love him more than love him with everything that I have. And part of that is devoting my time to him. So that's a practical example from my life. Two more examples is appreciating the mundane. So this is an interesting one for me, is I'm not someone that just quickly appreciates the little things in life. But part of being present-minded is actually that I would be able to appreciate the little things in life. The sun rises, the sun sets. Yesterday, while I was walking around property, just thinking about the preach, thinking about what I was going to say. Guys, let me just say, this preach has been like a mountain in my brain. It's like, yes, what are we going to say to the church? But as I'm walking around and I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to preach about present-minded, eternity-focused. And what does it mean to be present-minded? And I'm in my head. I'm all over the place. And in that moment, it was like God just stopped me. And he's like, hey, bro, you're preaching about being present-minded and eternity-focused. Right now, you're not present-minded. Like, and so I stopped and I was like, wait, let me just take a moment to forget about the preach and just appreciate God's creation. I don't know if you've taken a walk around this property at like sunset time, but it's amazing. And funny enough, I think people from the outside looking probably would have thought, yes, this guy's weird. But I stopped for like 5 minutes and it was like I just examined the inner workings of a leaf. I stood by a tree and I was looking at a leaf. And it's just in that moment, it's like something of that leaf and just the inner workings of it was testifying of God's glory. But in that moment, if I hadn't been present-minded and aware, and I'm not saying like it's like, yeah, but if I, in that moment, I could have missed it. I could have missed something that God wanted to do in my heart about actually loving him more and appreciating him more. So that's a practical example from my life. Appreciating the mundane things in life. So that's what life is about, you know? And then another one is evangelism. God often challenges me on this thing. How often am I sharing the gospel with people? How often when I'm in the Checkers or wherever, am I aware and obedient to God saying, like, go share the message of the gospel with that guy, with this girl? We had Conrad over, was it last weekend? Yeah. Conrad was here last weekend speaking about punching holes in darkness. And God's priority is that we, as we align our lives in accordance with eternity and we run this race, his priority is that we would take as many people with us as we do it. That we wouldn't just be alone in this thing. But let's take everyone we can with us, guys, because we're going to a really cool place and we don't want anyone to miss out on that thing. Right? So that's just some practical examples from my life. But I do want to read some scriptures to us that also speak about this. So Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14 says, not that I have already obtained all this. None of us have, and definitely I have neither. So not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So here Paul is encouraging us to not be dwelling on the past. And I don't want to say this morning that we need to forget what God has saved us from and be thankful and appreciative for that. But I am saying this morning, let's not be like Lot's wife that looked back longingly, you know, with nostalgia and to the old life of sin that we've been saved out of. Let's not look back to the mistakes we've made, regrets we might have. We have been ransomed and saved from those things, so we do not hold on. We strain on forward to the prize set before us. We hold on to the Lord. And even that thing, it's just saying, like, let's not focus on the past. Let's grab onto the future. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Other translations, I think it's the NLT, speaks about in every situation. So in every situation, I don't know about a situation until I'm in the situation, because then when I'm in the situation, that's where the situation is. It's speaking about the like present-mindedness. When you're in that situation and there's anxiety, don't be anxious about the future and what about this, what about that. Give it to the Lord through prayer and supplication and stay in the moment. Matthew 6:33-34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And this part I want to highlight, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Like, it's true. Amen. Each day does have enough trouble of its own. So what does it help for me to be worried about this thing, worried about that thing? And now again with this, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be forward thinking, that we shouldn't plan ahead, that we shouldn't be faithful in preparing for things. But I am saying, let's not let the worry and the anxiety of tomorrow consume our lives to the point that we're actually missing the present. All right. Last scripture, Hebrews 3:13. And this is actually encouraging us for the present. It says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So we encourage one another daily while it is called today. And that today is speaking about the present window of response to God. But if we're not in the present window, we're going to miss it. We won't be able to encourage one another. And I mean, even practically, how often are we in a time of worship in church, whatever it might be, even trying to spend time with God, but our thoughts are everywhere. And we're actually not in the moment. And the encouragement for us is really, would we be a people that is aware of the present moment, in the present moment, enjoying the present moment? Part of what I want to touch on today is joy. Are we finding joy in our lives? Or are we just looking for the next thing that's going to kind of bring a relief? But I'll touch on that. Let me just get my bearings quickly. Okay, so this is what it means to be present-minded. These scriptures that we've unpacked, those practical examples, my priorities aligning with God's. That's what it means to be present-minded. That's what it means to have an eternal, a present mind that is anchored in eternity. Am I making sense? Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, cool, makes sense. Okay, now I want to do something that's actually going to visually illustrate this for us a little bit, but I need a volunteer from the crowd. Any takers? Whoa, tough crowd. Okay. Any volunteers? Thank you, JD. Yes, wow. Okay, we've got JD. Okay, last thing I need. Don't worry, you're not going to sweep the floors. I need a cap. Gabby, Matthew, I'm close enough with you guys to embarrass you. Okay, there you go. There's a cap. Okay, I'm going to move this a little bit. Okay, so. You're doing good, Josh. Thank you. Put this cap on. Okay. So this is going to be a visual illustration of what it looks like to be present-minded and eternally focused. So JD, what I need you to do, okay? You're going to take this cap. Is it low enough? Yes. Okay, so you're going to take this cap, and all I want you to do is take it. Oh, it's heavy. Okay, and then balance it on your hand like this, okay? But first, you're going to balance it on your the broom on your hand while looking at your hand. Okay, you may not look to the top. That's why I've given you a cap, so you can't cheat. Okay, look to your hand. He's good at this. You'll see. Okay. He just caught it. Okay. Well done, JD. Let's give him a hand, okay? Okay. Now, I want you to do that again, but we can take the cap off, and I want you to look at the top of the room, okay? Okay, go. Ooh. Nice, bro. Yes. Okay, well done. Let's give him a hand, guys. Yes. Thank you, JD. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay, so there's a few things that I want to highlight from this. And it's funny enough, this is actually, thank you, Gabby. Funny enough, this is actually something that I did in one of the Ichorist classes, speaking about a different topic. But as I was prepping, I was like, this is actually an amazing visual picture of what it looks like to be present-minded and eternity-focused. So JD's obviously, he did really well. But in the beginning, he had to balance the broom on his hand. And let's say the broom represents our life. He had to balance it while looking at his hand. And while looking at his hand, it was kind of falling over a little bit. He did really well, but it was still falling. You see, like, balance was off. He was catching it left, right. But when he was able to take the cap off and look to the top, he didn't even have to move. He just held it. It was so easy to balance it. And that's what it looks like And it's just a visual picture for us to remember, but that's what it looks like to be present-minded and eternity focused. As I balance the broom, which is my life, and I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, everything else falls into line with that, and it's so easy to actually balance it. But if I'm here and I'm everywhere and I'm trying to pick this thing up myself, I'm missing every aspect. It's like when I'm not anchored up there, everything here is falling apart. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. Okay, I'm not going to keep us much longer. The last part thing that I want to speak about this morning, and this is really just actually an encouragement for us, is in this whole thing of being present-minded, of being eternity-focused, is are we finding joy in our lives? Like, are we making joy a priority in our lives? One of the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And so, for me, that says something of the fact that if this is something that the Holy Spirit, who is God, produces in my heart when I live with Him, it has to be a priority for Him. It has to be something, and we're going to get into more of that, but it means that it has to be a priority. And this morning, I want to say, if joy is a priority for the Lord, joy needs to be a priority for us in our lives. Can I read a scripture for us? Romans 15, verses 13. Just verse 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That scripture, you can actually leave that scripture up. It says, may He fill you with joy as you trust in Him. And we spoke about the fact that it's only in the present moment that you're really able to trust God. I can't trust God yesterday. I can't trust God tomorrow. I can trust Him for my future, yes. But it's only here and now that I can actually practically trust God, right? So it's only here and now that I can experience this joy. And am I aware of that? And it's just speaking about the fact that when we're present-minded, then we do experience the joy of the Lord. Matthew 25, verse 21. This is touching on an eternity focus. It says, and this is a parable that Jesus tells, parable of the bags of gold, I think. Basically it says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And this is what I want us to focus on. It says, come and share your master's happiness. Other translations say, enter into the joy of your master. As we look at eternity, as we fix our eyes on this thing that lies ahead of us, we're straining for that thing. That's our goal, is that one day when we see Jesus face to face, the only thing He says to us is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. So may our joy be rooted in this. May our joy be rooted in our master. And this is speaking about the fact that if we have a present mind, we can trust in God and experience His joy. If we have an eternal focus and we look forward to what's on ahead, our joy is rooted in Him for that day. And it's really something to encourage us this morning, guys. We have so much to be thankful for and we have so much to be joyful for. There is a reason to praise this morning. The reason to praise this morning is that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and saved us. And because of this, we have been grafted into eternity, and that is our joy. And are we living like this is the reality and the truth of our lives? And it's not to condemn us. It's actually, would we be postured in such a way that we'd search our hearts to see, Lord, where am I not prioritizing joy in my life? Where am I not? Does that make sense? Yeah, cool. I'm basically at the end of my preach. I'm almost there. But this really an encouragement for us is that we would prioritize joy. And I want to touch on this last thing, and this is something that God has challenged me on. In my preparation for this message throughout the week, I had other responsibilities as well. Like on a Wednesday, we serve in different, we call it Love Days, but we serve in different areas where we minister to people. And I had to do something for youth as well. And in the preparation of things, I started becoming God has challenged me on this thing, guys. It's crazy. But in my preparation, God is... I'm going, and I became so anxious where I actually got to the point where I was like, man, I actually just can't wait till Sunday's over, and it's like, oh, it's done, yo, and I can breathe. And how often are we in that space in our lives? You know, we get busy, we start working, and we get to a place where it's like, I can't wait till the weekend. I can just breathe. I can't wait till the holiday where I'm actually going to have a chance to be like, oh, yo, and I can breathe. But then actually, are we not in a place where we're more focused on seeking relief? And the thing is, I'm not saying no matter what you do, no matter how busy you are, you're supposed to be finding joy in your things, da 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 da. I'm saying let's let God into these areas of our lives to give us the joy in the present moment. That when we leave, that we're finding joy in our work, that we're finding joy in whatever we do. And I'm trusting that God is speaking to you on the practicalities of this as well. Does that make sense? So, as we balance this broom, which is our lives, let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And as we do that, as we fix our eyes on the Lord, let's find joy in doing so as we're balancing these things. Because we're becoming present-minded and eternity-focused. Lord, may we be a people that is present-minded and eternity-focused. Ray, I'm good. Thank you, guys.